littlest ones are dismissed for discipleship time. Raise your hand if you know what an ID bracelet is. We're good? Who knows what an ID bracelet is? Yeah, I was guessing the younger crew probably doesn't. At one point in my school days, they were kind of in. It was cool if you had an ID bracelet. It was basically a little metal curved piece, usually your name written on it or something you thought was cool, and then a chain that connected it. And it was, it was an ID bracelet. The idea was it ID'd you. But we just did it because it was cool. But it did have our name on it, so it kind of ID'd us. But there was another ID bracelet that some people had. And I'm not even sure I was going to ask some of our medical professionally related people here if this is true or not. But there was a medical ID bracelet. They still exist, yeah. Right? It looks kind of the same, except there is then going to be red on it. Is it just a red cross, or is it the medical symbol? Red medical symbol on it. Thank you. See, fell down on my research, and my memory fails me. And that, of course, is an ID bracelet. But it indicates something else. That the person wearing it has a medical condition that needs to be addressed, particularly should there be an emergency. Why am I talking about ID bracelets, especially a medical ID bracelet? Because we're going to look at circumcision this morning. And that is, I think, a good example or analogy of what physical circumcision was to be for Abraham and the Israelites. It was an identification. It identified them as being God's people, having been made so by God's promises and God's call and God's provision. And also that they were to be set apart as God's people, set apart unto Him. And also, so yeah, it's three things now if you're one of those counting types and you like to line these things up, right? As you see or hear what they heard from Moses as they're about to go in the promised land, it was also identifying that they had a problem. They had a health issue, but not a physical health issue. They had a spiritual health issue. They had a heart issue. And what they really needed was circumcised hearts. So you hear circumcision, you think of circumcision, it's like a medical ID bracelet, really. But what about for us today? Well, for us today, circumcision was pointing to the one who would meet that health issue, that medical issue that's a spiritual one, and that He would bring about the ability for a changed heart, a new creation in all who would believe in Him. Indeed, there was much advantage to the Jew, if we kept reading in Romans 2, much advantage to have the Word of God, to have His precepts, to have been called out and brought into the promised land, to have circumcision as the sign of the covenant made with them, starting with Abram, who has now been renamed Abraham as we're reading along. But apart from a circumcised heart, they were still just as lost and separated from the Maker of heaven and earth. That was their real need. A need that would last into eternity that has now been met, fulfilled, brought about in the descendant from Adam and Eve, through Abraham, through David, born of the Virgin Mary, Father Joseph, Jesus Christ, or the Messiah. That's where we get to what's involved with, what's at stake, what the point is with circumcision. Most simply, it's a medical ID bracelet. Today, the healer has come. The Savior, the Forgiver, the one who cures the cancer of our soul, who takes a hard heart and transforms it into one that receives and returns the love of God in him. I'm going to read Genesis 17, 1 through 14. Join me in prayer before we do. Father, you must give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe. We are here this morning with your word. What a great privilege and benefit, advantage that is. Yet unless you give us hearts to believe, we will not understand. We will not believe. We will not actually know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We will not actually be able to call you Father by the presence of your Spirit. So, Father, as the Israelites needed, and we all need, and you've now provided through your Son, grant us hearts to trust you and to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 17. Yes, again, read this passage. When Abram was 99 years old, been there waiting around 25 years, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. This is now the third time the Lord has restated to Abram the promises he made to him back when he first called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, when Abram was bowing down to false gods. This is the third time he is mentioning this. Abram has lied about his wife to save his life. taken his wife's maidservant at his wife's suggestion to try and bring forth an offspring because, you know, clock's a ticking, 98 years old, been in the promised land, no kid, God promised a kid, let's make it happen. And on the heels of that endeavor to take matters into his own hand to bring about the fulfillment of God's promises, God restates his promises. Some new things are added here. He gets a new name. We looked at that last week. He's told that not just a multitude of descendants, but nations will come from him, Ishmael being one of them, and also kings will come from him. What I'm focusing on this morning that's new here in this instance of God making known his promises and explaining his covenant to Abram, now Abraham. I mean, maybe now from now on I can say Abraham and not get it wrong, right? He adds this sign in their flesh, this physical identification called circumcision. You want to know exactly what that is? Ask your parents or your husband, all right? But this is what he does. And you go like, well, what's the point? Where is this coming from? Were other nations practicing circumcision? Well, there's evidence that Egypt practiced a type of it, but regardless of what was going on anywhere else and the lack of explaining of it in Scripture, it was clearly explained to Abraham. It's not the first time we've seen something like that. Think back to Cain and Abel. What did Cain and Abel offer up? Sacrifices. Where did they get that idea? I don't see any laws explaining that in Genesis. Well, it was made clear to them. So, however Abram was able to understand exactly what the word circumcision meant, which he did, and he ended up doing that with himself and his whole household. The point being is here, the Lord gives him this symbol and sign that he is to submit to as a part of the covenant, and all his descendants after him. And if they don't do that, they're not in the covenant. They don't get God's promises. They needed to follow through on this. And here from this passage, just at hand here, we have at least two things, two points, or two meanings or purposes in the circumcision that is given here. The first thing is, it is a reminder for Abraham daily. He can't get away from it. You know, you can take off a medical ID bracelet, which wouldn't be a good idea, unless you're putting it on your night table and you're going to bed, right? It's a physical reminder that he would be faced with daily. And you say, well, what about the women? Well, they would be very aware of it too, because the mother of a male child would have to take her 8-year-old child to get circumcised. And as she cared for that child, she would be aware of it. Most women would become married wives and have kids, and even if they don't have boy children, they get married to a man, and they're going to be aware of it too. But it is upon the men who are ultimately held responsible, just as Adam was, just as Jesus was, ultimately upon the men physically, but for all, it would be a continual reminder that the Lord is the one who calls, promises, and fulfills. Think about this. When he was Abram, what did Abram just do? He just accepted his wife's maidservant at his wife's idea to go into her and have a kid so he could finally have an offspring, because after all, that's what the Lord promised him like 24 years ago. He took matters into his own hands. And it's after that the Lord says, okay, circumcise yourself and all the males in your household. Wow. It would be a daily reminder that the Lord is the one who calls, the Lord is the one who promises, and it is the Lord who fulfills. Abram was not called because he was like, hey, maker of heaven and earth, you and you alone, the only one true God. No, he was out there worshiping other gods. Someone asked recently, where is that from again? It's mentioned in Joshua I think 24, 23. That's what he was doing. What has he done since then? Well, he has obeyed, he has trusted, he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteousness. Has it been a perfect life of faith and obedience? No. But the Lord called him, and the Lord made the promises, and the Lord fulfills promises. And circumcision would be a daily reminder to Abram and his descendants who would follow of that very thing. And this comes out a little bit in this passage alone here in chapter, beginning of chapter 17, starting halfway through verse 1. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face. And God said, and behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of a multitude of nations. Halfway through verse five, I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will establish, verse 7. And back in chapter 15, if you remember, the second time the promises were made and it was called a covenant, Abram was doing nothing. The Lord passed through those sacrificed animals. He established his covenant. You say, well, what about the conditional aspect here where it says Abram's supposed to? Yeah, the outworking of it from a human perspective was going to be conditional. Abraham had to be obedient, but the Lord would have to provide that faith as well, which we'll see when we turn to Deuteronomy briefly in a couple of moments, and what we know now from the New Testament, faith is a gift. So first and foremost, it would be a daily inescapable reminder that the Lord calls, the Lord promises, and he's faithful to fulfill his promises. The second thing it would be, looking at verse 1, where he says, walk before me and be blameless. And then verse 14, any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. It would be a sign of commitment to and belonging to the maker of heaven and earth, who requires holiness, blamelessness, not perfection, that's not possible, but integrity, undivided commitment. Walk before me and be blameless, verse 1. And here you go, Abraham, here's a reminder that you failed to trust me, but you can trust me. Trust me, be set apart unto me. This is all about me being your God and the God of your people after you. And these two points, purposes, or meanings in circumcision would carry through and be true for all of his descendants as well. But for them, something else is added, right? Now we have to fast forward to when the promise of God that Abraham's descendants would be enslaved in Egypt has happened. And God's promise to Abraham that they would be brought out has happened. And they're brought out a multitude, numerous. They're brought out from Egypt out of slavery, and they're out in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. But on their way, when they get to the very edge of the promised land, and the spies come back and says, man, the warriors there are fierce. We can't do it. Of course you can't. It could be a bunch of kids. And you wouldn't be able to conquer them if it wasn't for the Lord. But they failed to trust him. And the whole time in the wilderness, they're idolatry. Matter of fact, Joshua has to tell them in the promised land, put away your idols. Right? So the first generation that comes out, the older generation, they come out as the Lord promised. They come out of slavery and they come out rich. Their neighbors are like, leave. Here's our gold. Here's our silver. Just go. Because your God has just shown himself to be greater than all the gods of Egypt in those 12 plagues. Please go already. And though delivered through the Red Sea, provided mail, that's manna and quail together. It's mail. Now we know where we got that word from. Manna and quail and water from a rock. I mean, you name it. They get to the edge of the promised land. We're not going in. We're scared. Okay, that's it. You know what? You're afraid you're going to die. You're going to die. You're all going to die in the wilderness. Those of you who are old enough are all going to die. And you're going to wander around the wilderness to the older people. They all die off. And I'll bring the younger generation in. Oh, no, no, no. We'll go to war. Never mind. Do over. Sorry. Doesn't work that way. So we're fast-forwarding really quickly here. And now we get to Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, if you want to turn there or listen, the passages are in the outline, so you don't have to try and jot them all down. If you like to just listen, then by all means listen. If you want to look in your Bible, do that as well. But Deuteronomy chapter 10, we now have Moses speaking to those who are going to go into the promised land. The younger generation, who, by the way, haven't been circumcised yet. The younger generation that's going to go into the promised land. And these are some of the things said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting in verse 12. And now Israel... descendants of Israel, who is Jacob, that was a name given to him, who is the son, right, descendant of Abraham. Now, Israel, what does the Lord, all caps there, Yahweh, your God, right? That was the whole point, that I would be their God and dwell in their midst, walk among them as was taking place back in the garden. What does your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, and to walk, there's that word again, walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. All of his commands are for our good. They're for his glory and for our good. That's only in God's economy. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them. You above all peoples, as you are this day, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. The Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing him. They are told to circumcise their hearts. What does that mean? Put off their stubbornness. Their stubbornness is a heart issue. And all those years of circumcision, though this crew hadn't been circumcised yet, was pointing to the fact that what really needed a work done on it was their hearts. They're stubborn, stiff-necked. Just not just the Israelites. Every single one of us. People say, oh, it's getting so bad today. It's so bad. Oh, man, it's so bad. It's never been this bad before. Everything is so bad. I'm like, wait a second. There was two brothers living on the face of the earth, and one killed the other. It doesn't get worse than that. Why? Because of what was going on in his heart. Maybe you're sitting here, and you're 8 or 12 or 7 or 15, or you know, and you're thinking, why? Well, you know, I never murdered anyone. I never stole anything. I haven't done anything illegal. Do you ever have a scowl come upon your face and you just wanted to do something really unnice to your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, or maybe your dog or cat. It's coming from your heart. It's coming from your heart. Are you growing up in a Christian home and you haven't been exposed to some of the things that older people tend to share in their testimony when they've been saved later in life? Praise God. Thank God for that. But you still have a heart issue. And that's what circumcision was pointing to. Matter of fact, it's made very clear in Deuteronomy 29. Still speaking to this same group of Israelites who watched the older generation die off, but had firsthand experience with the miracles in the wilderness, know their heritage, know their history. They're going to have to get physically circumcised, but have been told to circumcise their hearts. And in Deuteronomy 29, starting verse 1, just 1 to 4. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them in Horeb. And Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear." Do you ever think it'd be cool to be around when Jesus was around, to see him do those miracles? Some people actually will say out loud, "Well, if I was there and I saw this Jesus guy do that, then I would what?" You'd reject him and cry out, "Crucify him." But for the grace of God granting you a heart to trust him, to obey him. But that heart had to be bought. And the old heart had to be paid for. And that's been done. For the Israelites going into the wilderness, one more thing is added to circumcision and its meaning. Your heart needs to be circumcised. You need a new heart. And the Lord promises them that he would give it to them. It's there in Jeremiah. It's there in the new covenant in Jeremiah. I want to fast forward to the fulfillment, the provision for that need of a new heart that is pointed to in circumcision. And that's in the descendant of Abraham, who was named Jesus at his birth and given the title Christ or Messiah because he was the long-awaited for, the anointed one. Born of a virgin, so born of a woman, fully human, yet born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, fully God, actually the Son of God. So the Son of God and the Son of Man, descended from Abraham through David, but the very Son of God, he would come and bring about the circumcision that they needed, that we needed, that you need this morning if your faith isn't in him. There were so many places I wanted to go, and I wanted to keep it simple, so I'm just going to go with Colossians. But by all means, go home and read Galatians, thinking about circumcision. But in Colossians, it's made very clear. In chapter 2, verse 6, this letter written to those who have heard that Jesus is the Son of God, who died on the cross and was raised from the dead on the third day, that Jesus would come back to judge the living and the dead, but all, any Jew or Gentile, descendant of Abraham or not, who believed in him would receive forgiveness of their rebellion against God, their hatred for God, their stiff-necked, stubborn-hearted attitudes. And this was written to them. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, Colossians 2:6, the Lord, so walk in him. There's that word again. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you, and the you here are those who have faith in Christ, were circumcised. What? We've all been circumcised. Didn't know it, did you? Hopefully you knew it. With a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in the him there is Christ. The need that circumcision pointed to has been met. The work that God would one day do is now being done because the descendant of Abraham has come, who is also fully God. Through faith in Christ, everyone, male and female, is circumcised. Not the physical circumcision that was commanded to Abram back there in Genesis 17, but the circumcision that they all needed and we all need, kind of cutting out of the old heart of stone and stubbornness and granting a heart of faith, that has been made possible now. So do we still need to do circumcision today? Absolutely, this one. This one, Galatians 6:15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision circumcision matters, but only the new creation. You need to be a new creation in order to walk with the possessor of heaven and earth and one day walk with him face to face. This circumcision is needed. It's funny, we don't talk about people becoming Christians as, oh, they got circumcised. But that's what happened. Not a physical one, right? And now, with this new creation, with this circumcision, not of hands, but of the Spirit, on the heart of the believer, there is the ability to actually walk with the Maker of heaven and earth. To call him Father, Jesus, Lord. His Spirit dwells in you, and you're supposed to walk by that Spirit now. Now you can. What had not yet been given to the Israelites there on the border of the Promised Land is given to Jew and Gentile alike who believe in this Jesus from Nazareth. A man, but no mere man. In him, dead and brought alive through his resurrection. Circumcised, not physically, but spiritually in our hearts. That we would chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1. Raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath, the divine justice of God is coming. In these you too once walked. There's that word again. When you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And lest you think this is how you get right with God, verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Circumcision was a reminder that God is the one who calls, promises, and keeps his promises. He's faithful. A reminder to be set apart unto God, and a pointer to the fact, physical circumcision was a pointer to the fact that everyone needs their hearts circumcised. Everyone needs open heart surgery. And Christ, the great physician, has brought that about. So are we supposed to get circumcised today? By all means, believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be circumcised. Have hearts that have been made new. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters, but the new creation. And then as that new creation, walk as beloved children of God. Setting aside the old ways that are not being held against you. Set them aside and walk in newness of life. Is there a parallel today for us as Christians with circumcision? No. Not a physical thing that we do that is with us always reminding us. Every day, inescapably, daily, like circumcision would have been. But it's been brought about in Christ. And a reminder of that and an initiation into that is baptism. Baptism is a symbol of the fact that with Christ we've died to our sins, and as Christ has been raised, we're raised to life with Christ. We've been circumcised. That's done once. Another reminder that we're going to partake in now is the Lord's Supper. It's not honest physically, not daily, inescapable, but as often as we do it, we get to eat and drink the Lord's Supper, proclaiming his death till he returns. That the one who died was raised from the dead and will return to judge the living and the dead, but through faith in him, we will not be judged because he's made us new creations. He's changed our hearts. So as we come now to the time of the Lord's Supper, if your faith Whether you're 2, 6, 16, or 60, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, as in having changed your heart and bringing the forgiveness that you need and reconciling you to God by His work, His and His alone, then by all means join in. And if you know as far as you're able that you have peace and no sins or issues with others that you have to deal with, partake. You have any doubts on anything, let that pass by. But while we don't have the physical on us reminder that circumcision was, we do have this. And that's what we'll go to now and really celebrate that if we're in Christ, we've been circumcised. Our hearts have been circumcised. Join me in prayer. Father, there is no way a bunch of different guys from all over time and space on the earth came up with this. The message is clear from the beginning and all the way through. Just as you have given physical life, ever since Adam's rebellion, you need to give spiritual life. You need to give hearts to know you, to trust you. Father, that is incomprehensible that you would give us what we don't deserve and what we need, that we would give you what you alone are worthy of and deserve. Trust. Obedience. Love. Father, we only love you because you first loved us. We'll only love you if you change our hearts. For the first, granting faith unto salvation continually, that as your beloved children, we would put off that which we say we hate and are ashamed of and are glad we've been saved from. Father, grant this morning circumcision of heart where it has not yet happened. And strengthen and increase our conviction and desire among us who have circumcised hearts to put off the old, to live Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.